This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on Store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We have to make sure everyone has access to maintain and maintain affordable health insurance coverage. We should be making it easier, not harder, to make sure to make sense to, you know, let me put it another way. It makes no sense.
Strong words. Strong, bewildering words.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
It's common to say now that the Sanders campaign failed. I think that's a mistake. I think it was an extraordinary success.
S-U-C-C-E-E-S, that's the way you spell success.
On the combination of the hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, he also says the complications have been trivial, things like rashes, any minor issues.
And as soon as he said something positive about it, the media's been on a jihad to discredit the drug. It's quite strange.
Pushing this drug. He's got to stop. He's not. We don't want a drug pusher for president.
I'm making a citizen's arrest. This man is a drug dealer.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
In the last few weeks, more people are dying from it every day in New York than die total in a day in New York in a normal day. But sure, not a big deal. From the beginning of this outbreak, Fox News has posed a genuine public health threat.
That escalated quickly.
Unchained and unstoppable.
If the federal government doesn't do it, then the states, as a consortium, I would suggest do it. And let the states create a national consortium of states to do the purchasing in lieu of the federal government.
Whether it is called Mafia or Cosa Nostra, or whatever other name you wish to give.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
I thought the states, the 13 states, set up a national consortium back in 1787, thereabouts. They called it the federal government, didn't they? What is Cuomo talking about? He talks slowly, and he used to have some Kennedy in-laws. So he thinks that makes him profound? I don't get it. I never saw him as a great statesman. He's daddy's boy. You know, it's how appropriate that he married into the Kennedy family where they're all daddy's boys.
What's the expression? You're born on third and you think you hit a triple?
Yeah. You think you hit a triple. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Take the silver spoon out of your mouth, Andrew. We won't even talk about that first race in New York State against Mayor Ed Koch. Vote for Cuomo, rhymes with Cuomo. You know what I mean? Ed Koch, the confirmed bachelor from Greenwich Village. And I would say a much better statesman than Mario Cuomo, in my humble opinion. Anyway.
Don't even get him going on the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yeah, I know. All right, I'm gonna take a couple of deep breaths and move on from the Tappan Zee Bridge being renamed the Mario Cuomo Span.
Okay, Howie, I have a ton of news to get to today. Do you mind if I just jump right in?
You just go on in, and I'm gonna just remember the halcyon days of my youth on the Tappan Zee Bridge.
You go ahead and do that. I will take over from here. I want to talk about a lot of things. I want to start with the same news story you were talking about in the last hour, the ABC fake news story that the Pentagon had to come out and deny, which they don't normally issue that kind of firm denial of a story, but because of the level of dangerousness to this, they had to come out and say, listen.
And also the level of falsity. There was not a scintilla, an iota of truth, as far as I could determine in this story.
Right. No product exists that they were describing.
Yeah, that's rather definitive. No product exists.
Yes, I would say so. But what I want to talk about is this idea that Trump because they seem to be going with this a lot. They keep asking about the memo and when did you know about it? And he says, listen, I made the ban right before the memo even was made. It, you know, the timeline kind of adds up, but all of a sudden conspiracy theories are the way to go now if you're a left-wing journalist. My question is, let's just pretend in this alternate universe that Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes live in, that Trump did know about it in November. You don't think that if you're being impeached, that you're going to try to, you know, right. they say he's a master of distraction. You think he missed the opportunity there, Howie, to maybe get out of the whole impeachment drama with a little distraction, a little shiny object being a massive pandemic?
What did Bill Clinton do when he was being impeached, Grace? Do you remember that? There was an aspirin factory. Remember that? There was an aspirin factory that was closed for the evening, and there was a night watchman in it, and Bill Clinton bombed it.
All I know is
and then they made a movie about it. It was called Wag the Dog.
All I know is once you mention Bill Clinton during this hour, we're going to get flooded with Chump Line messages, many of which will end up on Chop Chumps and not the regular Chump Line.
Linda Tripp did expire yesterday. She was one of the mothers of the Lewinsky scandal, and God love her.
She was a real whistleblower, unlike the ones we have today, yes, who are fake whistleblowers. I want to talk about something that Trump brought up yesterday at the press conference, and I've kind of forgotten about it because it seems like Joe Biden has been out on the campaign trail so much, and we've gone through so many candidates that you forget that Barack Obama has yet to endorse him. And it is interesting when Donald Trump said, I think he knows something that you guys don't know. I think we all know what's going on here. And it's Joe Biden is slipping. He's obviously in some sort of mental decline. But I am curious.
I thought, Grace, I interpreted that last night as that there's something more. I mean, he said there's something you may not know about.
Oh, like a surprise.
We all know about the other issue of Joe's mental state.
You mean the one that everybody's had an opportunity to ask him about but haven't?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Taylor, do we know? I think maybe perhaps the president was suggesting that there might be more than one Tara Reid.
Oh, you're saying this could be a Me Too or a Me Three?
Right. I mean, you know, was Monica Lewinsky the only one? Monica Lewinsky became Paula Jones, became Juanita Broderick, became Fritz Mondale's daughter.
That's very interesting. I will be curious to see if the mainstream media ever does get around to asking Uncle Joe. I mean, they have so many things to ask him about besides that, like his 10-point plan that he's been working on, too.
You mean the make work checklist, or is it the make it work checklist?
Let's
he says
get
both.
To work checklist. It's all the same. In really good news, Howie, Boris Johnson is out of the ICU. He remains in the hospital.
Good.
But according to sources, he's in very good spirits, and it looks like he is heading back up in the right direction. So we're happy about that. We're all big fans of Boris Johnson. He seems like a good guy.
And his 7 or 8 or 9 kids are very happy about it, too.
I'm sure. The Boris bunch is very happy. I wanted to talk a little bit. I know we talked about Andrew Cuomo, and there's only so much of that we can take. But Molly Hemingway had a really interesting piece today in The Federalist.
She did. I've got it in front of me, too. It's really good. We should tweet that out on my account, Grace, actually.
Yes, I will do that, Howie. She basically said that Trump was right on the ventilator issue in New York, and Cuomo, who is now being hailed as the next president of the United States, was
wrong.
He's
a statesman.
He was totally wrong. So here's what happened. Donald Trump was on Sean Hannity, and I think it was a phone-in interview, and he said they were asking him about the 30,000 additional ventilators that Andrew Cuomo was requesting, and he said he didn't think they were going to need that. And the mainstream media basically ran with Trump downplays need for ventilators as New York begs to differ, and Trump's not going to send them ventilators, and Trump's going to watch as New York burns, and you all can figure out the rest because you've seen the headlines like this
right.
a million times.
Well, there's a great quote from Trump in this story from the interview. You go into major hospitals sometimes, they'll have 2 ventilators, and now all of a sudden they're saying, can we order 30,000 ventilators?
Right. It's almost, you know, when you're younger and you're getting ready to go back to school and you ask your mom if you can buy all the notebooks at Staples, and she says, you know, I've seen what you how much schoolwork you do. You don't need all those markers, okay, Grace? You don't need that many pens. Maybe we get the grades up before we buy you all the pens. It's the same thing. These people went crazy and said, we need 40,000. These are expensive. And so Trump, he's a business guy. He's saying to himself, well, let's wait and see. Like, we don't know if you're even going to need that. Turns out he was right. And to quote Trump, he's right a lot. Remember he said that in a press conference? I'm right a lot. This is one of those things. And yet, if you turn on Chris Cuomo's show, he's broadcasting from his basement. Mm-hmm. He's peppering his older brother, asking him, will you run for president? People are begging. People are cheering. And I'm just thinking to myself, his antenna doesn't seem to be that great. I mean, what's going to be his platform? I'm the governor of New York, and New York had the most deaths from coronavirus. I don't understand how this coronavirus issue is going to propel him to become president and is going to make Trump lose the presidency. How does that work?
You know, another point that Molly Hemingway makes in this story is that, they were attacking Trump when Cory Gardner, the senator from Colorado, Republican, was up for re-election this year. When he asked for 100 ventilators, they got him the 100 ventilators like that, right?
Right.
And so they're going, isn't it amazing how he gets a Republican the ventilators he needs? Well, Cory Gardner was asking for 100 ventilators. Cuomo was asking for 30 or 40,000 ventilators. And like you said, Grace, these are not, this is not like manufacturing a cotton swab, right?
No, right. Because it takes a lot of manpower.
A lot of time and a lot of money to produce these ventilators.
And it turns out a lot of them are not going to be needed because the models are not that accurate. Howie, when we get back, I have a tweet from AOC that will blow your mind. And I also have some news about a coronavirus death. The man is an older man, so he's 87, but he has a very interesting story, and I want to share it with you.
All right. 844-500-4242. This morning I wanted to listen to the Chris Plant show on my radio, and the mailroom manager wanted to have a meeting, a staff meeting with Grace and Taylor and Jared. So she said, put in those earbuds, my Raycon earbuds. She wanted me to listen so that I wasn't going to bother her. So this is the way it is when you're cooped up now in these quarantining, self-distancing times.
Because Howie, sometimes if you don't have your earbuds in and you hear one word in our staff meeting that interests you, you start to butt in and ask questions and you can kind of throw us off track a little bit. So I think the earbuds are good for you. Keep you focused.
Thanks. Thank you for adding that, Grace.
You're welcome, boss.
I appreciate that. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kemp, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Coronavirus sent the markets into a tailspin, as you know. Who knows what the future holds? In a time when nothing is certain, do what I do. Trust Orion Metals Exchange. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You need to diversify. Call them today at 1-800-912-2300. You'll get more metal for your money. Call 1-800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which is ABC News' worst transgression into fake news? Saying Trump knew of coronavirus in November? Brian Ross reporting the Aurora, Colorado shooter was a Tea Party member. Brian Ross reporting Trump collusion resulting in stock market crash. Reporting that the Kentucky gun range video was a bombing in Syria. Or spiking the story proving that Kennedy was involved in Marilyn Monroe's death.
That's Kennedy plurals. Kennedy's plural. Bobby and Jack were involved. But yeah, I'm going to vote for the one today. The ongoing fake news about Trump knowing about the coronavirus in November. Totally bogus.
I'm going to vote for Brian Ross when he made the stock market crash because I remember that day vividly.
52% say the coronavirus story is the worst transgression.
Yeah. Brian Ross is now on the sidelines, but how many retired journalists can claim that they trimmed billions of dollars off the stock market with one single fake news story?
I was just going to say, Howie, Brian Ross is truly a leader in the fake news world. Let's put it like this for everyone out there. Brian Ross walked so Jim Acosta could run, okay? And we can't forget all he did for the fake news industry, because it's easy to forget him now that he's not on your TV ever. But he made a lot of sacrifices for the rest of the White House press corps.
He was John the Baptist, you might say.
Exactly.
In the fake news religion that now dominates our world, so to speak.
And
anyway,
now, Howie, it is time for... Tweet Beat, brought to you today by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. AOC tweeted this: sometimes it still stops me in my tracks that because I believe insulin should be free, workers should be paid justly, we should house the homeless and not cage families, and that all people should be free to pursue education as they wish, for that we are treated as radical and dangerous. And the best tweet in response was just a random person who tweeted back: sometimes it still stops me in my tracks that because I believe human life has value even in the womb, for that we are treated as radical and dangerous. That's what we call boom roasted. Grace's News is brought to you by, speaking of boom, it's brought to you by Boomer Naturals. If you've always wanted to try CBD, but you're a little bit nervous about cannabis, you should really try out CB5 supplements. It's a lot of the same benefits as CBD without any of the cannabis aspects. Go to HowieKarsu.com, click on the Boomer Naturals banner, and then when you go to their website, use code word Howie at checkout. Howard, I wanted to tell you a funny CNN story. CNN has been mocked for changing their headline on Senate Dems blocking a $250 billion small business fund. So I'm going to tell you how the headline changed.
Yeah.
It started off as Democrats block GOP-led funding boost for small business aid program.
Right.
Which is, you know, what actually happened.
It sounds like a repeat of what happened with the New York Times a couple of weeks ago. They did the same thing happen. But
so,
go ahead.
So some, TDS troll must have started to cry, and they changed it to Senate at stalemate over more COVID-19 aid after Republicans and Democrats block competing proposals.
This is CNN.
Oh, they never fail to disappoint. Yep. It is just embarrassing. And then in good news, the Hilton Foundation donates $10 million towards coronavirus relief efforts. I'm very impressed by the private sector and all these rich families. They're donating a lot of money. So kudos to them.
We'll be right back with Joe Concha to talk about this fake news outburst from ABC News. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. You know, this story from ABC, it's been percolating for a couple of days, and you can judge its fraudulence by the fact that nobody else seems to have been picking up on it, because it's just so obviously fake. I mean, if they could prove that Trump knew about the coronavirus in November, that would be the end of the presidential election. He'd be gone. Orange man bad would be orange man gone. And there is no there. But I'm sure they're still standing by the story. That's why I wanted to talk to Joe Concha from The Hill, and he does a great job as a media reporter. Joe, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Of course, Howie. How you doing?
pretty good, pretty good. It's not like this is one of those non-denials that the Trump administration has issued here on this story. The existence slash release of a National Center for Medical Intelligence coronavirus related product slash assessment in November of 2019 is not correct. No such NCMI product exists.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's such a ridiculous thing. He knew in November, and he didn't do anything about it. Well, that's interesting, because the World Health Organization, 2 months after that, said there was no human-to-human transmission. And then Dr. Fauci, on January 21st, on Newsmax, told Greg Kelly that the United States citizens shouldn't worry about this based, and that's not a knock on Fauci, that's based on information he was getting from China and from the World Health Organization. So if, for people to say, like, well, of course we had to know about this when in November, when, you know, the people that are in charge of this in terms of pandemics and viruses like this were saying that there was no human-to-human transmission, I don't understand how this could possibly be a story where you could say, aha, Trump, I got you. Just like the New York Times, by the way, Howie, that said that the president was profiting off of anything having to do with hydroxychloroquine, right? When it's in a family mutual trust and it's worth something like $300 and there's no patent on the drug anyway, right, for Novartis. So, again, here we are in the most important time of our lives, you can make an argument for, and the media continues, they can't stop that reflex of orange man bad, blame Trump, and twisting facts and narrative and lying, quite frankly, to achieve what they're trying to achieve.
You know, I have Bill O'Reilly on the show occasionally, and he and I used to work for this TV station in Boston in the early 1980s. And, you know, they made jokes about how bad the station was. When the news breaks, we fix it. You know, if it's news to you, it's news to us. And, you know, we laugh and say, we had a guy there. Every TV station, every newspaper had old-time newspaper guys. They had everything but a green eye shade. And they would look at a story like this, and they would say, where's your backup? Where's your proof? Get us it. Why don't you get us the documentation? Who saw this?
And as you know, right, and as you know, and as you pointed out correctly, the way the media works is that, all right, if the ABC News reports this, then usually you'll get, I don't know, 2-3 hours later, the Washington Post confirms, CNN confirms. There's usually confirmation. No one's confirming this. So it's just like with Brian Ross and that story with ABC where he said Don Jr. had some sort of heads up on the WikiLeaks dumps.
Right.
And it turned out that he got it the same time everybody else did when they went public. What is this based on? One source, somebody's father's, brother's, nephew's, cousin's, former roommate told somebody at ABC News that this happened? Come on, man. Show me proof or I don't care about it anymore. And I think most Americans are the same way. Like, yeah, I got to meet this source close to the president because this guy seems to know everything.
But you know, here's the thing, Joe. What got me interested more in this story was I saw it this morning that that the Pentagon had issued the statement saying this is totally bogus, totally false. And I mentioned this on a hit I do on one of my affiliates down in New Bedford. And this was at 7:30 this morning. And the host said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "At 7 o'clock this morning, ABC News Radio was still leading with this story without the denial."
Of course. Mm-hmm. Because wow, that's a pretty good story for clicks and ratings, right? And then if there's no accountability, if no one's going to get fired over it, then you can put anything you want out there. I mean, let's think about this. Remember that book 2 years ago, feels like 20 years ago, Fire and Fury Inside the White House from Michael Wolff?
Right, right. That was a good hit for him, though. He made like $5 million off it just like that. And, you know, and then it's vanished into the ether, you know?
Because he was on every show for 3 weeks. And then finally somebody started to ask like some decent questions, which like, did you fact check this part of the book or did you confirm this? He says, "Oh no, you know, I just put out there whatever I was told and I didn't fact check anything. I'm not a journalist, I'm just a storyteller." Oh, but by that point it didn't matter. What do they say? A lie can go halfway around the world before the truth gets its pants on? And that's the whole rule now with journalism. Throw it out there and the exoneration gets one fraction, one quarter, one little 0.0001% of the original traction that the allegation gets.
What's like the CBS earlier this week, they put out, they retweeted some crazy woman saying that she had to quit her job as an emergency room hospital nurse because they weren't providing her with PPEs and she was unsafe and they were all getting sick. And then somebody did, I don't know, 10 minutes worth of checking and she hasn't worked in a hospital for a year. But the retweet got 5.2 million hits.
And what did the correction get? Probably five.
Was there a correction? I don't even know. When is ABC News going to respond to this? I mean, when is someone going to challenge ABC News? Where are the? What's the document? I mean, Joe, you know, you think Michael Wolff made it? Joe, you think Michael Wolff made a lot of money off that stupid book he wrote? How about the guy who comes up with this document showing that President Trump knew about this in November? I mean, that guy would be worth $20-50 million overnight. That's the contract he'd have. If the fact is, there is no document.
No, there's no document. And by the way, I just want to be clear, it was CBS that put the nurse on, not ABC.
CBS. I'm sorry.
ABC completely. Yeah. So, again, in this case, no, they did issue a correction, but you think, was there a suspension maybe of somebody? Like, you know what? You're taking a week off without pay. You know, this is a horrible mistake, and the CBS News were proud. You know, we're the home of Cronkite and 60 Minutes, and we can't have mistakes like that. You think anything happened to that person? I haven't heard anything. Nothing will. So then mistakes will keep making. The inmates are running the asylum. That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, you had a story today from on your thehill.com about this guy Chris Hayes at MSNBC. Now, I mean, we talk a lot about how whatever Trump does is bad, you know, and so now they're reducing the model, the predictions about how many fatalities they're going to be. It's gone from like 2.2 million on the upper end. Now it's down to 60,000, 2.2 million to 60,000. That's kind of a big drop. So tell us what Chris Hayes said about this.
Sure. And the big drop, really, it came this week when just 5 days ago, the death toll was looked to be 93,000, according to the IHME, Washington State University, University of Washington, I should say, forecast model that was created by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Okay, so just so we know. This is what Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci have primarily been using in terms of their forecasting. So when they said 100,000 people will die, they were going off that model. So it's gone from 93,000 just a couple days ago to 81,000 2 days ago to 60,000 now. So 30% in just 5 days gone. Okay, so why is that happening? That's a big story, right? Like, you know, we have these press briefings, and they go on forever and ever, and I watch CNN, and I watch MSNBC, and I barely see anybody talking about this. Like, that's a very big deal that that's all just been reduced by 30% in 5 days, right? So
right.
Hayes writes, the most cynical interpretation of all of this, one I can't quite bring myself to accept, but hell, I'll just write about it on Twitter anyway to my 2 million followers, is they rolled out the model showing 100,000 deaths after they knew it would be less than that, so they could, listen up, anchor everyone to that number and then take a victory lap only when tens of thousands have died. This is what this numbnuts writes. He has an 8 o'clock show on primetime national, and he's the Alex Jones now of cable news. Congratulations, Chris. That's great, because that's a conspiracy theory to end all conspiracy theories, because then you'd have to buy into the fact that not only Trump was in on it, the president, but the vice president, and then Fauci and Birx also signed off on this. Like, let's inflate the numbers so we can make the president look good.
Fauci would totally
do that for Trump.
And also, you know, it's not going to be a bad thing for the president that 17 million people are going to lose their jobs in 3 weeks over this thing. He just wants to be able to take a bow because the number of fatalities was down. He's crazy.
And look, go ahead.
It is
nuts. But if we do look at it, though, in terms of, let's say the death toll is 30 or 40,000, okay? And once you get past New York, there doesn't seem to be too many, like, bad hot spots. You know, like, New York is just crazy. I'm in New Jersey. It's nuts here, right? But once we get over our apex and that starts to go down, then you say, okay, where can the other big, you know, death toll numbers come from? Obviously, people will continue to die, but will it be a big number? And I'm not saying this in any kind of cold way. My wife's an ER doctor. She's treating, you know, COVID patients, so I'm very sensitive to this. But if...
Uh-oh. We lost Joe Concha. He's a very good columnist for thehill.com, and you can check him out there. And we'll try to get him back in just a second. 844-500-4242. This was really disgraceful. I wanted to ask him too what he thought. The Wall Street Journal today had an editorial. You know they're establishment Republicans, never Trumpers to a degree. They run Peggy Noonan, who you know, has this strange distaste for President Trump, despite his successes. But today they wrote a call. Their top editorial was Donald Trump has got to, you know, put an end to these press conferences. OK, we got Joe Concha back on the line. We lost you, Joe, for a second there. Wanted to get your response to the Wall Street Journal editorial today telling President Trump he's got to rein in these press conferences, keep them short, and stop battling with the press. I think they're great. I think people are enjoying them, and I think it galvanizes his support base. You know, they quoted some woman, a suburban woman, who said I can't watch it anymore. I don't want him yelling at reporters and reporters yell. Don't you enjoy it, Joe?
I mean, it's such a dark topic, right, that I don't know if I want to use the word enjoy. That's not me being politically correct. You know, I'm not like that. But, look, they're here. All I heard about when Trump first took office is that he's the worst president towards the press that's out there. He's not transparent. You know, there aren't enough press briefings. And now he's doing these things that go on for sometimes 2 hours. It's not
right.
Just Trump. It's Pence taking questions. It's Burks taking questions. It's Fauci and the Surgeon General and down the line. So, yeah, if this is the only topic anybody's talking about, I'm not really going to complain if the briefing goes on longer and we get as many questions from reporters as possible.
We lost them again. They must be having some transmission problems in the Garden State of New Jersey. All right. We thank Joe Concha for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show, and we hope we can get Joe back again some other time. Excuse me? What?
Well, I said it must be the deep state cutting him off.
All right. Joe Concha, thanks for being with us on the Howie Carr Show. We'll have you back again soon. 844-500-4242. We'll take some calls when we get back. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Howie. I'm calling from Pennsylvania, and thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
And my point is, you got into this with Joe Concha a good bit. It leads into my point. Is as much as they're questioning the corona models as far as predicting, you know, it was way over predicting, way over pessimistic, now that we can back check the numbers, I hope that they bring the same skepticism to global warming models. Because you're going to be,
haven't people learned to take global warming models very skeptically? Because when they say that, you know, Miami is going to be underwater in the year 2100, none of us are going to be around to see it, right? And no one's going to be around to point the finger at the idiot who said that was going to happen. So we take it with a grain of salt. But what they tried to use a global warming model for coronavirus, but they didn't. I don't know that they understood that people would react differently when they said they were going to be dead in 3 weeks as opposed to their grandchildren were going to be dead in 100 years. You know.
Well, there's still a lot of people that believe this global warming stuff, and they'll say, you know, the peer-reviewed science and the models, and we have to believe science and all of this stuff.
Right.
I mean, you just go back about, I think, 10 or 15 years, and they said in England, you'll never see snow again. Children won't know what snow looks like in
right.
England.
McLean, Virginia, too. Bobby Kennedy Jr. said the same thing, and you would never see snow in Northern Virginia again. Thanks for the call there, Jim. Someone was saying, today, actually, by the way, coronavirus, this is what you're going to get with global warming. Somehow, coronavirus was created by global warming. That was the point. You know, when you think about it, what took them a month to come up with that new fantasy? The Howie Carr Show, by the way, has launched a campaign to provide food and refreshments to hospital emergency room personnel throughout New England as they fight the coronavirus. It's called ER Eats, and you can help. Just go to HowieCarrShow.com and click the ER Eats banner at the top of the page to donate. Each donation will also help support local restaurants who will be providing the food. It's a win-win. A special thanks to our sponsors, Matthews Brothers and DiStefano Hair Restoration, who've also pledged to support ER Eats, and we've made a contribution here at the Howie Carr Show as well. Please help us feed those on the front lines and help the local restaurants that are trying to get through this thing. Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click the ER Eats banner to donate. We've gotten a great response so far, and we could use some more better response. We're going to start getting the checks out to the hospitals very quickly. 844-500-4242. Dan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dan.
Howie, Dan in Eastern Oregon, got a question about Nancy Pelosi holding up the stimulus package for 6 days.
Yes.
Being a disabled senior citizen and having to go out 6 days from now and knowing that our Oregon peak is estimated at April 20th, does that expose all of us Americans at a time when we still haven't peaked to go out and necessarily get supplies with that money we so desperately need? Was that reckless? Or was the Kennedy Center that important that all of us people should be standing in line 6 days from now?
I know. Have you noticed at the press conference they occasionally ask Mnuchin, especially the Treasury Secretary, why is it taking so long to get out the checks? Well, you know, and I thought to myself, you know, for one thing, Mnuchin could say, well, we could be getting them out 7 days earlier than when they eventually do go out. And they say, by the way, they're sending some out even today, if Nancy Pelosi hadn't held it up. And now the Democrats in the Senate are holding up another $250 billion because they're already running through some of the payroll protection money, which is for the small businesses. They're already getting more claims than they have money, even though they budgeted hundreds of billions of dollars for the payroll protection part of the legislation. And the Democrats are holding it up because they want to get in all this pork for their constituents. It's really outrageous what's been going on the Democrat side. They've been irresponsible once again. I mean, this is what's going to happen if they get control of the White House and the Senate. I mean, it's really going to be Katie bar the door. 844-500-4242. Thanks for all the calls. We'll see you soon. I'm Howie Carr.